just for us.
Thank you, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you and welcome to our first service. And Lord willing, the last time we'll meet in this room here for a Sunday morning service. But I'm glad that you're here today. And if you look around, really a lot of good things have happened in this room over the last nearly 7 years. And the single most important thing that ever happens in any room is that somebody makes a connection with God, either initially or subsequent to their initial connection with God. And some of you can even point to a particular place or a seat, and some of you even remember a particular day when God helped to guide you. He helped you with a decision, and something significant happened in your life. And so, as excited as I am to move into that new worship center, I'm also very, very thankful for what has occurred in previous years. And the Lord has indeed blessed us. Now, everybody remember this coming Wednesday evening, there'll be sort of a sneak peek. If you'd like to come out Wednesday night, we'll kind of have an abbreviated worship time. We'll start here, then move to the new worship center, and just give everybody a chance to walk through it. This past Tuesday night, all of our elders and their wives were walking through it all, just praying over the building, praying over you and how you would be impacted there. And then next Sunday morning will be Celebration Sunday in both of our Sunday morning services. And we'll have a focus time on communion. We're going to be a morning just full of praise and thank yous and celebration, giving thanks to the Lord. I'm going to ask that you really come next Sunday with a heart ready to just pour yourself out in praise. I'm going to ask that you consider bringing a special offering next week. I've been doing a lot of reading over the last few weeks on celebrations in the Bible. In fact, this week, all of your daily Bible readings will not be connected to the Sunday school class coming up next week. It'll be in advance of Celebration Sunday. And you'll be reading through several celebrations in the Bible when a temple was dedicated, or when the Jerusalem wall was rebuilt. And you'll see that God's people would often bring a little special offering. I mean, my goodness, God's been good to us, and we bring a little something extra to Him. But next Sunday morning, we're thankful and excited to move into that. And there's a scripture from Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah loved to party. He loved to party. And after the Jerusalem wall was rebuilt, this is a description of what occurred, and I hope this is sort of our mantra as we move into next Sunday. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. We'll have a special children's chorus next Sunday. And the sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem, Sugarland, could be heard far away. Well, this morning I want to begin an emphasis here over the next 3 weeks. Easter Sunday is just a couple of weeks away. I'm calling this little brief series, He Changed My World. And today, very specifically and quickly, we're going to take a look at how Jesus handled pressure, because His life was one long pressure point. I mean, think about it. So many people He dealt with were fickle. His life was scrutinized. His private life was interrupted. His words were dissected. And yet, under it all, Jesus modeled for us a stamina born of faith. He maintained His composure. He communicated clearly. He completed His mission and fulfilled His assignment. And I believe Jesus is the perfect example of responding to pressure. Anybody here ever deal with pressure besides me? Sure. And Jesus is our example. So today we're going to very quickly take a look at that well-known scene as Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now, I'm not going to ask you to hold it up, but I'm going to ask you, as we move into our new worship center, to reignite a habit that for some of you, you've never let it slide. Others of you, perhaps you have let it slide. I'm going to ask you to bring your Bible every Sunday. your Bible. And yes, we're still going to put scriptures up here on the screen, but that's to help you. And that's not as a substitute. I'm going to ask you to have your own personal Bible that you highlight, that you mark, you take notes in, you underscore, you put a little note out there that says, Ronnie, pay attention to this. Or you put your name, you know, my name. You pay attention to this. And so today, if you've got your Bible, open it up, please, to Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to underscore four principles that I see here from the life of Jesus that are so practical and helpful. And here's the first one. Jesus handles his assignments with courageous faithfulness. And here's the scene from Luke 19. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, a little donkey colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. You untie it, you bring it here. And if anybody asks you, why are you untying this? You tell him, the Lord needs it. Don't you love that line? That's a great line. Somebody's asking you, hey, why are we asking you to give up some of your time, some of your energy, some of your resources, some of your gifts for the Lord? Answer, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. So they brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. You've seen perhaps, you know, little paintings, diagrams of this Palm Sunday entrance as Jesus would enter Jerusalem, coming down from a mountainside, from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem with crowds of people praising him, placing their coats and palm branches before him. But as you study this, one of the things you're going to read that scholars will repeat over and over and over is this thinking. You ready? Here it is. The courage of Jesus to do this is staggering. The bold entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem was a superlative act of spiritual courage. Jesus knew full well that he was entering a city that was hostile, that there are leaders there who hate him and who want to eliminate him, and so many people would have considered discretion the better part of valor. But Jesus deliberately goes into Jerusalem in a spotlight way with every eye riveted upon him. And how many people do you know who sort of take the approach in life where they say, you know, responsibility, I got to tell you, there's a lot of hassle that comes with responsibility. There's a lot of hassle that comes with leadership. I think I'd rather just sit on the sideline and critique everybody else. I don't want the hassle. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the spotlight. I don't want the pressure. Folks, spiritual courage is on the endangered character quality list. Are you a person of courage? Are you willing to, as the song says, stand up for Jesus and endure some of the hassles and responsibilities? Jesus endured pressure and he courageously fulfilled his assignments. And I think one of the interesting things about this story is the way Jesus rides in Jerusalem on a donkey. Why not on a horse? Because a horse is a symbol of warfare. A donkey is a symbol of peace. He's coming in saying, yes, I'm a king, but I'm not here to make war. I'm here to make peace. I'm leaning into you with a conciliatory spirit, and that's why I'm here. And I think it's interesting that in that story, there's the man who owns the donkey colts, and he was told, the disciples were told, that if he asked, why are you untying them? You just say, the Lord needs this. May I ask you a pointed question? How eager are you to give up your donkey for Jesus? Because everybody's got one. I have one. You have one. It may be your ability to hug, or your ability to teach children, or your ability to write a check, or your ability to lead or energize. But there's something you have that when you give it up joyfully to Jesus, the cause of Christ, Jesus just gets moved down the road. Why are you taking my donkey? The Lord needs it. And He's going to use it. But here's what I want you to see, first of all, that Jesus handled His assignments with courageous faithfulness. Secondly, Jesus handled praise without losing His humility. And that's no small thing either. Beginning at verse 37, when He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. May I say to you that one of the most dangerous things you will ever face in your life is when people praise and compliment you. Can you handle that? Some of you are the fair-haired golden boy. That's okay. You've just been blessed with looks and talent and smarts. And some of you young ladies, you just haven't. And some of you are the kind of people where everybody wants to know what you think. And when your life is blessed in such a way where so many things in your life are simply going up and to the right, or up and to the right, how do you handle that? There is something about praise that can act like a drug, and popularity's pressure is something that not everyone can withstand, but Jesus did. And we can too. Especially in the church, we need to compliment one another. We need to encourage one another. And we need to do that with abundance. But we also need to remember that when compliments come your way, when praise comes your way, either in the church or in your marketplace, wherever it may be, remember your place. That you are able to do only what you can do because it is God who has blessed you. He has given you that ability, and all things are possible only through Christ, and without Him we are nothing. And not a one of us here is to view ourselves as the exception to God's rules. You're not, nor am I. We're not the exception to God's sexual rules. We're not the exception to God's financial rules. We're not the exception to God's relational rules. To the contrary, everybody's to view themselves as, I'm to be the example. You're to be the example, not the exception. And that's Jesus. He handled praise without losing His humility. What's humility? Humility is, it's the intentional willingness to view yourself as less than. Where we say, I'm willing to put God's will first. I'm willing to put the needs of another person over mine. And Jesus goes into Jerusalem. He hears all of the applause. And yet, later in the week, He's still willing to put the towel around His waist and wash feet. He's still willing to go to the cross for your sins and mine. You know what? Have you been in the corner office for too long? Have you gotten your way for so long? Have you had people honor your name for so long? Have you gotten so many awards that you've lost sight of humility? Jesus takes His assignments, and rather than saying, hey, let somebody else do that, I don't want the hassle, He courageously stepped up. God, You've gifted me, You've given me this assignment, I'll fulfill it. And when praise comes His way, He handles that appropriately and maintains His humility. And thirdly, Jesus handles criticism without losing His purpose. Luke 19, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. In other words, they were saying, hey, you shouldn't be getting all this praise. And Jesus replied, but I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. How do you handle it when you get second-guessed? Jesus got second-guessed a lot. He was criticized by His own family. They called Him nuts. He was criticized by his own followers. He was criticized by other religious leaders. Hey, why don't your disciples fast the way John's fast? And no emotionally healthy person likes it. And yet, the way we respond to it reveals much about our character and can even help us become a more mature person.